Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, those of us who are enjoying watching the Tar Heels play in the NCAA, in the ACC and NCAA tournaments, both the men's and the women's, think it's just wonderful. I like to think it's sort of like going to a fine restaurant and eating a fine meal. But I don't think it happens so easily. So I've asked Dick Bedour, the director of athletics at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, to visit with us. I didn't think that he would have that much time to do that during these hectic weeks, but he's agreed to visit with us. And Dick Bedour, welcome.
Thank you, DG. It's great to be on your show, and it is just wonderful. The season has been wonderful for the men and the women, and now we're in as exciting as it has been in this past weekend and the weekend before when they both won ACC championships, it really gets exciting now, and it gets challenging. It gets challenging on the court for the teams to prepare for the competition, and it's challenging for the staff to get them there and get them back.
Well, I mentioned the fine meal at a restaurant, and I want to introduce my questions to you with that analogy. It might not be too great, but I once had a meal at one of the local restaurants, and I knew the manager and asked him if I could go back in the kitchen and watch what was going on. And I went back there, and you open the doors and into the kitchen, and it's just apparently utter turmoil. I mean, everybody's running around from one place to another. They're shouting and screaming, a little bit of shouting and screaming, all cheerful. And the manager looked at me and said, "It looks like chaos, doesn't it?" He said, "But everybody knows exactly what they're doing. They've been trained and cross-trained. They support each other. You look and see chaos. I look and see a fine-tuned team working under extraordinarily stressful circumstances, delivering up that quiet, dignified product that you as a diner in my restaurant experience." And so I said, I wonder if Dick Bedour is sort of in the same position, that we just kind of are served up this beautiful meal, but all your employees are just running around doing, you know, working really hard and improvising, doing things, but working from a plan. And so I said, gosh, if I could get Dick to describe to us what's going on in the athletic department during these important and surely hectic weeks. And that's kind of what I'd love for you to do for
us. Well, that's great. And I love your analogy. I guess it's hectic and chaotic. I would say that. But the beauty of this is that, you know, starting with the coaching staff and both coaching staffs, and with our players, and on down to the administrative staff, we've got a whole group of veterans who, fortunately, because of the success of our teams, have a great deal of experience in what we're doing this week. I mean, we will have easily 20 to 30 people committed full time, if not full time, close to full time. To getting these teams where they need to be, getting information to our fans, selling tickets, and if we're fortunate enough to advance and win, then the commitment comes even greater working to the Final Four, which is indeed a challenge. On the men's side this year, we don't yet know where the women will be, but on the men's side, because we've earned the right to be in Raleigh, and then if we advance to Charlotte, then we're eliminating some of the problems. But to give you some idea of what's involved here, it's just a tremendous logistical problem to move the team and the staff and the band and the cheerleaders and the fans to these sites. You've got marketing issues, starting with send-off from the Smith Center or from Carmichael to pep rallies at the site. You've got the whole issue of tickets and how do you get those who gets those, how they get notified, how do we get them into the hands of the people, the sports information staff that is handling the press conference today, press conference tomorrow, press conference on both sites when you get there. You've got compliance people involved because there are certain things that the NCAA requires you to do. Hotel rooms, planes, buses, security issues. And all of that's got to be coordinated, as you say, like a meal, each functioning maybe in a different area of the kitchen, but it's all got to get delivered at the site where the team ends up, and it comes together. The announcers say, let's play. The referees throw the ball up. And you really want to do it in an environment where the coaches and the players can concentrate on what they need to concentrate. So you want to, you don't want to have them having to worry about these other logistical issues too much. At the same time, they've gotten the teams here, so you want to make sure that you're doing what they want to have done to take care of their team.
Well, Dick, let me ask you this. You all, as you mentioned, your experience, the positive side of this is that you are experienced. It's not like you're doing this for the first time. And I wonder, have you got in your little desk beside you, you know, a 40-page or 50-page or a one-page battle plan that sort of outline that is a directive based on your experience that you can turn to as you assist your colleagues in getting this job done? Is it reduced to writing?
It is, but it's we've got a ticket procedure, we've got a logistical procedure, we got a marketing procedure. So they're sort of different components. An advantage that I have in this area is that under John Swofford, I had the major responsibility, particularly on the men's side, and did it for 10 years. So I don't need as much of a manual. They're just things that pop in my mind as soon as the site is announced. And, starting with last night, a group of us get together, and as I said, I'm fortunate to deal with some tremendously experienced and capable people like Larry Gallo and Clint Gwaltney and Steve Kirshner and Rick Steinbacher. And so there's not a whole lot of training that needs to go on here now. Everybody knows what they need to do, and it kicks in. So the pleasure for me in this is that if I'm not thinking of something, they are. And so what do we want to do about this? And then you sort of have to balance, too, DG, is that you can't be too superstitious. You don't want to do too much planning ahead, but you can't wait as we progress. You can't wait until the last minute to put this together. And a lot of times, now, we're fortunate again this year with the men and that we're going to Raleigh, but a lot of times, You can get hung. We used to have to book individual flights, if you can imagine that, and now the NCAA allows us to charter. But when you get that charter, when it can come get you, when it can land at the site, ties into when you're supposed to be there for a press conference, when you're supposed to be there for your practice, and you want to do that as much as possible by keeping your students in class as much as possible. So it comes together, you get there, and usually in any given year you'll run into a problem, like, okay, we don't have enough hotel rooms, or we can't get the charter when we want it, or we're not getting the kind of tickets that we planned on getting. But, we get there, we play, and usually we win, and that's good.
Well, that's good. We talked about the restaurant analogy. Another analogy is the preparation that a athletic team, a men's basketball team, that Coach Williams has his plan for the game, and it's but as you say, it's a flexible plan. And in other words, he wants to have a plan for the game, but it's always subject to readjustment based on the realities and the surprises that occur in the game.
That's exactly right. I mean, I remember last year Beth Miller and getting the women to the Final Four ran into some real problems with the charter plane, and it wasn't until maybe Wednesday, when we knew exactly when the plane was going to leave. And the importance of that is when you get on that plane and when you land starts a whole series of events in motion. And so you're having to plan ahead in a way that makes any sense because we weren't sure when we were going to get there. We thought we were going to get there. We just didn't know when.
Dick Bedour, let's take a quick break. We're talking to UNC Chapel Hill Athletic Director Dick Bedour about the ins and outs of preparing for the ACC and the NCAA basketball tournament. He and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. My guest is Dick Bedour, the Director of Athletics at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Dick, we were talking before the break about airplanes. And let me just ask a crazy question. When you're able to charter planes to take the teams and others to the sites, who gets to ride on the plane and who has to figure out how to get there on their own? How do you manage that decision? And
yeah, we have a formula for that now that we work on. What we like to do is on the NCAA plane, and the NCAA will pay for 75 people. Let's say if we have to fly somewhere, so we put the team, the coaching staff, the trainers, the managers, the sports information people, maybe some marketing people, the logistical people, myself, who need to get at the site as soon as possible so they can start doing their work. We'll also put the band and the cheerleaders and or the dance team on that plane.
There's room for all of. I mean, that's a massive number of people. Got about 50 people in the band and 20 or 30 cheerleaders and dancers.
Well, you're not allowed to take that many cheerleaders. But at any rate, your point is well taken. But again, we've been doing it for some time. You find out Sunday night what you're going to do, and you put this plan in operation. You got to get the buses here on campus to take us where we need to be. And so we're going to look at taking out one charter probably Wednesday of that week, depending on whether you're playing Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. And the NCAA requires you to be on site at a certain time for a press conference and for an open practice. And then you get those times on Monday morning as to when you're expected to be there, and that's somewhat based on the time of the game. So you're waiting on CBS to tell you what time your game's going to be played so you know when to put this whole thing in motion. But that's who we'll take out on the first flight. If you're going to a Final Four, you say, then you've got a whole other group of, assuming that you have to fly there as opposed to that you can get in your car and travel, then you'll have other flights, charters scheduled for your university official party and your alumni and your Rams Club members and things like that.
The difference in that is that the NCAA allows you to charge to them the cost of this small number of people, the team and the close-in support group. The university has to pick up the tab
the department picks up the tab for the rest. What they do is the NCAA will pay you to fly 75 people or transport 75 people for the first two rounds and then 100 people for the Final Four, and they'll pay you a per diem based on that same number of people per site that you cover your hotel and your meals, and it usually doesn't cover it. And the remaining people that you bring, then you have to pay for.
All right, now let me ask you this question. I bet you won't answer it. Who doesn't get to go? Who might have a claim and might have a legitimate claim based on the things they've done to support or the things that they'll be needed to do? Who do you have to say, I'm sorry,
Lot that have been involved in basketball on both in the men and the women who've been very involved logistically putting on games at your home site that you just can't take everybody. We look at the first round and the regional. We pretty much limit who's going to those people who are going to have a job to do when you hit ground there. So you'll take a bus coordinator and you'll take the number of ticket people that you need to get the tickets in the hands of the people, and you'll take the marketing people that it takes to get on the pep rallies and that kind of thing. But you just can't afford to take a lot of extra people. When you get to the Final Four, you tend to treat it a little bit more like a celebration and in some recognition of what people have contributed through the year. So you'll let your official party grow some at that point.
You know, there was a great article a couple of months ago about the bus driver who typically who has developed a very close relationship. He's a guy that I got to know when I was doing legislative work, who carried some of the legislators around from place to place. And so I was real interested in when you go to a how do you say, I'd like, if you go to, say, San Antonio or some other distant place, how do you make the decision about whether or not to take him? How important is that? I mean, is that a coach's decision? Is that yours? Or do you all just have to wrestle with that?
We just put our heads together and see what's going to work. I mean, Dave, that case does such a great job. But when you go to a Final Four, they've got special buses assigned to the team 24 hours a day. And they're different. It varies. But usually when you get to the Final Four, if you're going – and Coach wouldn't want us to talk about that far in advance as we've got games to play.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. But
when you get to the Final Four, you get a little more structure than you have at the regionals or in the first and second round. So in some ways, your flexibility is limited. I mean, you pretty much you have to use their rooms. You have to use their buses and their escorts and things like that.
So some of that is good in the sense that they undertake the organization planning and implementation, and it leaves you all, although you may not be totally satisfied with that, you don't have to plan or be responsible for
that. That's exactly right. And really the quality of, let's say, the hotels. I mean, yes, it's a blessing not to have to go in and find 75 rooms somewhere that a hotel has been designated as your hotel, and so you know. Although we've been, you talk about in the past. I mean, I took the team to Seattle, and the day before the hotel called up and said, you know what, we made a mistake. We don't have any rooms for you. And you know, I called the NCAA, and they said, let me call you back. They called back and said, you know what, they were right. I mean, it was our mistake, but we don't have any rooms. And that's only happened one time, but it can happen. But your seating kind of determines the quality of the hotel. So the top seat is supposed to get the nicest property in that city, and then it works down. And so you're right, if your year hasn't been that successful, you might not be in the quality location that you want or have the same quality hotel that you made that you're used to. But it would be really hard to go to a site and find that number of rooms together.
Well, Dick, you mentioned that in the short time that you have before each of these events, you gather a core group of people who are sort of your generals who have different responsibilities. And, of course, we're familiar with Steve Kirshner, who manages the press and the media.
Right.
How about taking us into that meeting, and you can avoid telling us some of the secrets that you had to talk about. But what did Steve tell the rest of you, and what did you all tell him? Take us in the inside of that meeting. And
well,
you're
sitting around the room with some quality people and some people with tremendous experience in this, and Larry Gallo. Let's just talk about on the men's side. Larry Gallo is our point person on the men's side, and Beth Miller would be on the women's side. But Larry's sitting there, and there's Clint Gwaltney, who's been doing this and who's got a great understanding of what the basketball team is going to need.
Tell us his role. What is he? What's
well, Clint's associate AD for ticket operation. Okay, and so.
So what is he? I mean, well, maybe that'll be more an interesting place to go because, what does he say? He's got to say.
Well,
Dick,
he knows in advance that let's say we're going to get 500 tickets. He's going to know, based on the location, on his experience, what the basketball team is going to need, and we want to take care of them. It's first priority.
The coaches, you got lots of coaches and you got lots of players, and each of them gets.
Let's say they get four tickets as allowed by NCAA. So family members could buy more than that, but they're allowed, I think that's the right number, complimentary. So, like in Raleigh, we would know that the team's going to need its full allotment and maybe. A few more. You also have in the room somebody from, most recently it's been Carlton Creech from the Educational Foundation, who's going to know what the demand is going to be. And we know in Raleigh there's no way we can meet that demand. So there we're trying to balance what the team and the staff need with the interest of the fans. In the priority of that, we want the team to get what it needs first. That's just big. I mean, they got us there, and then we need to take care of them. I mean, then you go down the line, and you've got Rick Steinbacher in there from the marketing standpoint, and he's thinking about, okay, we're going to do our send-off for the team as soon as I know when the buses are going to be here and that kind of thing. And so
Let me interrupt you. All of these guys' duties are just incredible, interesting. If say Rick, is it Rick Steinbacher?
Mm-hmm.
Says I want to, I want to use this event to build for the future as much as I can. I want to make as much out of it as I can. And here's what we usually do. And I'd like to do something else. I'd like to do something else that will get attention. Or is that what he's saying?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be working with the people associated with the band and with the cheerleaders. So, how he's committing them and what their class schedules might be like is also a different matter. So he's got to bring to the table about, what we can get done in that respect. You might see, in terms of creativity and what we want to do, Let's say there were a few years ago, we really weren't doing much from a hotel send-off. When the team came down from its last meeting and was going to get on the bus, they just pretty much do that. Now we've got it into a formula like we want to get out the word to the fans at the site, whether they're in the hotel or wherever they are, if we just got fans in that area, come to the hotel. The team's going to be coming through. The band's going to be playing. Not a time for autographs, but let's send them a great send-off to the arena. Fans love that. Kids love that. So that was kind of an innovation that we did a few years ago. And when they come back, let's have something for them when they come back to the hotel. Let's greet them, give them a great round of applause. So those are the kinds of things that, you find out what other schools are doing, and you just have some great ideas yourselves coming from the kind of staff that I've explained.
Well, we're visiting with UNC Athletic Director Dick Bedour about the plans, the complications, the crises that develop as the teams, the men's and women's teams, prepare for the NCAA tournament. He and I'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is UNC Athletic Director Dick Bedour. Dick, one of the great things about being associated with the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill is the brand. I mean, you think of these great brands throughout the world, Coca-Cola, in the old days, Kodak, and you'd have to put in the top 10 brands, wouldn't you? That NC?
Absolutely.
And what do you, I mean, does that just take care of itself? Are you thinking about the value of that, protecting the value of that, and protecting and enhancing the value of that brand for, you know, for all kinds of reasons? Or is that just something that's in the back of your mind?
Well, we do, DG, but not so much from a commercial standpoint as we think about what the institution stands for, what the University of North Carolina stands for. And then when you think of that interlocking NC, I mean, you think of our athletic programs, but, you know, the institution is bigger than that. So how we represent the institution as we travel, as people interact with us, I mean, we're thinking everything from our players to our fans to the people who take us around, let's make sure it's a first-class experience. I mean, this may sound like a small thing, but, you know, I'm checking in at the arena in Charlotte, and there's the guy at the security gate who's checking our players in. And after that process, he says to me, you know, Mr. Bedour, not every team does it like you do.
Now tell us some more about that.
I said, well, you know, what do you mean? I can't believe teams are that much different. He said, well, I'm just telling you, your guys come in here, they got on coats and ties, they look good, they act good. Yes, sir, no, sir. Everything's in line, your coaches are with them. I mean, and that's just the way Coach Williams runs that program. It's the way Bill Guthrie ran that program. It's the way Dean Smith ran his program. I mean, that's our legacy. Look good, and you know, when you go into a restaurant, you're representing your university. Eyes are on you. Eyes are on those guys, those gals all the time. So let's remember, we're North Carolina. And then we'll go to a pre-tournament site. I mean, we'll go to a pre-tournament meeting over here in Raleigh on Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and we'll be in that room with eight teams, representatives, ADs, head coaches. And I'm gonna tell you, I mean, you know, North Carolina is just one of the most respected programs in the country, and you'll see it in the meeting. You'll just see other head coaches as they talk with Roy. You'll see other ADs as they talk with me and they talk with our ticket people. People will be saying, how did y'all do this? What did you do? What about the next site? Have you thought about this? Can you help me with this? It just happens all the time. And we love it. We love it. We enjoy that role.
Well, I think all that's great. Is that the chancellor's policy? Is that your policy? Is that the individual coach's policy? Or do you just say, we leave it to you, we trust you to come up with something? How is this a Carolina phenomenon rather than just being the way things happen?
Well, gosh, DG, that's about, you know, I think it's about our legacy and the way people have done things around here through the years, and it's just ingrained in us. Yes, we talk about it. We don't take it for granted. I mean, you hear coaches talk about it all
the
time.
Well, let me just ask you specifically.
I talk about the Carolina way all the time.
Let me just ask you, excuse me, friend, but specifically, is it your policy that these players will wear coats and ties to the games, or is that coach's policy, or does he leave it to the kids to decide and they all come up with this Carolina way of doing things?
Coach Williams. I mean, Coach Williams, but that's just the way it's been at the University of North Carolina, and Coach Williams doesn't want to change that. Now, there'll be times when, if we're traveling on the bus, like when we went to Charlottesville for the midweek game, I mean, Coach will certainly let them travel in their warm-up, their sweatsuits, because that's just more comfortable than going to be on the bus for 4 hours.
Well, I mentioned one other thing, and this is kind of an argument in my family, and maybe it seems to be an argument in the Carolina family as well. And there have been some changes, must be some changes in the rules, but when I was growing up, say at the at national anthem time, when we stand up for the national anthem at the Carolina game, I get up and I come to attention. This is the way I thought I did it in the Army. And at the national anthem, stand at attention. and I sing along when I can. And my wife also, but she puts her hand over her heart. And so, you know, we have this kind of dispute about what the proper way to show respect for the country and the flag is.
I can't believe you mentioned that, because Linda and I have the same have the same discussion, and I stand at parade rest.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay, from my Army experience, and she stands with her hand over her heart, and she says, "This is the proper way to do it." And I say, "Well, this is the way we did it in the Army,"
yeah.
and so I do it. But I have to tell you, there the proper way, if you were to look it up, the proper way is hand over your heart. But I think, you know, and Coach agrees that's an individual declaration in our minds of showing respect. So there's some team members who have their hand over their heart. There, some who stand more at a parade rest. But as long as they're showing respect for the flag, I think that's what's important.
So in the unity of the family, you can have unity of the team and still have a divergent way of showing your respect for the team.
I think
team.
So.
I'll take Linda's advice. Well, maybe I will. The Army discipline is kind of severe, isn't it? It's hard to walk away from.
Well, I guess it's ingrained in us. But I thought it sometimes about saluting, but I don't know, in my coat and tie, that wouldn't look quite right. So I go to parade rest. And for those who don't know, parade rest is standing there with your feet about shoulder width apart, with your hands behind your back, clasping the small of your back.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think I got it. I think I must have it wrong. Standing at attention.
Standing at attention would be with your feet together,
yeah.
Pointed out at probably about a 45-degree angle with your arms at your side.
Well, is that
more than you wanted to know?
No, it's exactly what I needed to know, because if I can't get consistency on the Carolina men's basketball team about national anthem, maybe I can at least. Get consistency in my family.
I'd say if you can't get it consistency in your family, the chances of getting consistency on the Carolina basketball team not very good either.
Well, I love your point that that all of us, I mean, just to get outside the preparation for the NCAAs, all of us have our divergent ways of showing respect for our country,
right,
and for the flag. And if no argument, if it's done with respect,
right,
we don't want anything we do to be misinterpreted to show it a different way. That's a little bit off the subject.
Well, I think the other part, I think, is that you and I ought to go down there and do the Danny Green dance when we do the jump, when he does the jump around. You think that'd be a sight to behold?
No, but I'm glad you brought that up, because, again, this is in my family. My wife thinks that Danny Green's dancing is the greatest thing in the world,
mm-hmm,
and that it and I'm sitting back there thinking, gosh, when I was playing for Lefty Driscoll, if I did something like that stomp would be right on my shoulder. You know, I mean, this was, you know, 40 years ago, so it's a whole different world. But as I've watched this, I've come around. I look forward to it, and it seems to enliven the crowd. It relaxes the team. But there are people, aren't there? I bet you've gotten a call saying, "What in the world is going on here?" And what's your response?
Well, there are. You see it in other things we're trying to do in the Smith Center to create a wonderful experience, and as well as in Keenan Stadium. And you do have people who are used to a more sedate, a more classic, I guess, way of getting up and ready for the game. And I think we have to realize we got a lot of young people who want this level of energy, and we got a lot of older people who want this level of energy. And I think it's healthy. I think it's tremendous. I hope it stays with us. I know it's hard for us to imagine going back, what you say, 30 years, that Coach Smith would have been comfortable with that. But,
yeah,
you know,
well, I mean, you would get a call from Coach Smith to say, "Hey, Dick, what's going on here?"
Well, I think Coach Smith would say, you know, "Roy's running this basketball program, and if he's comfortable with that, then I'm comfortable with that." I don't think you'd get any issue out of Coach Smith anything that's going that way. I think it's fun. I think coming to the Smith Center ought to be fun. We probably get more complaints about the noise level, the level of the music, than we do anything. And then we get some who say it's not loud enough and others who say it's too loud. So we're just trying to kind of get down the middle of the road on that.
Talking to UNC Athletic Director Dick Bedour, he and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guest is Dick Bedour, athletic director at University of North Carolina Chapel Hill. Dick Bedour, there's no reason to say all of that. Anybody who's listening to WCHL knows who you are.
Well, this has been a diverse conversation. We've gone from prep to NCAA competition to Danny Green's dancing to describing what Parade Rest is to whatever's left. I'm not sure, but it's fun.
Well, you're meddling in my business and telling me I got off the subject, and I did.
No, I'm just acknowledging how much fun it's been.
Well, it's I think it's fun talking to you about any topic, but for those of us during this season, learning, as you've taught us, a little bit about the inside of what goes on in the athletic department during these times. Dick, you mentioned some of the people who are your generals in the preparation phase and the implementation phase of the tournament activities. I bet you there's some people who are doing things that we couldn't even imagine need to be done, who just do their work so well that nobody ever complains. Can you think of some folks like that?
Oh, they're tremendous people. If you just think about over there in the business office, who've got to get requisitions approved and move on so we can get those buses here that I was talking about, or get some per diem in the hands of our coaches so that people can eat and sleep and do things like that. And you think about over here in the ticket office, who are people who are going to be late at night assigning seats and tickets so that when somebody shows up, the proper name is on the envelope and it passes through to them, and that's all they should see. These things about the operations people who were out here last night protecting and focusing people in to welcome the team back from Charlotte. So there are just so many who are just doing their jobs that there's just too many to mention. But you're exactly right, and they should receive recognition. And I tell you, DG, you think about it in terms of men's and women's basketball, but, you know, we hosted postseason events somewhere between 20 and 30 last year when you think about the soccer and baseball and swimming and everything else that goes on here. So we get taxed pretty good, but our people love it. And I want to say this too, the people of Chapel Hill are wonderful. The listeners of WCHL, I mean, they come out, they support these teams day in and day out, whether it's tennis or swimming or whatever. And our coaches and our student athletes really appreciate it. So I can't say enough about the people of Chapel Hill and how they love Carolina and support Carolina.
Well, it is a blessing to be in this environment and
it
to
really
enjoy the success. Dick, you put aside and said that in building the brand, the Carolina brand, or protecting the Carolina brand, you try to put money out of sight. But, man, you can't put money out of sight. How important is the money that Carolina will earn from this, from its success in men's and women's basketball? How does that translate into funds, and how are those funds used, and how important are they to your program?
Well, first of all, the money you receive from this goes directly to the conference, and it's based on the level of the number of teams on the conference that got into NCAA competition and how far they advanced. And then that money goes directly to the conference, in our case, is divided by 12 and comes back to us. So the that concept of the $200,000 free throw has just simply gone away. But how it comes to us is it's hard to measure because the success of the program and people wanting to support the scholarships that these students get, people wanting to make sure that the coaches have enough resources to do the kind of recruiting that they do. So, you know, with Carolina basketball men and women, there's a level of success that's, I'll say, expected, but certainly appreciated, and people respond. If you just look at the building that I'm in and the basketball museum that we built, you could do a whole other program on that. Maybe you already have. But people take a lot of pride in Carolina basketball, and they want to be a part of it. Well, and that comes from being successful and doing it the right way.
Well, there are a lot of other programs that we could talk about, and the museum is one. Yeah, we haven't done our Who's Talking hasn't done a program on the museum, which is just fabulous, and it's easy to visit. Chapel Hill people, it's something that we will talk about some more. Dick, we're about at the end of the time. What can you do to extend the benefits of intercollegiate athletic participation to more students at Chapel Hill?
Well, gosh, we're participating about 800 now, and we're maxed out on that. I don't see any new programs coming in the near future. We've got challenges with facilities, with baseball, Carmichael, wrestling, sports medicine. So the biggest thing that we can do is make sure that our student athletes have a first-class experience and make sure that our fans and supporters want to continue to do that, and they have a first-class experience when they're around us.
Well, it's first-class experience dealing with you and first-class conversation. Dick Bedour, thanks for taking this much time out to help me and the listeners of WCHL understand a little better about what it's like on the inside at tournament time.
Thank you, DG, and thanks for what you do for our community.
Thanks so much. Thanks to all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.